and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sin go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, John 6, 35 to 51. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the popular book and movie, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone by J.K. Rowling, Harry is a novice magician who gets mixed up in the war between good wizards, who are his teachers, and the evil wizard Voldemort. The Philosopher's Stone is an item with alchemical properties, so that its owner can make from that stone the elixir of life, and after drinking the elixir, live eternally. Harry finds the Philosopher's Stone with the help of his friends Hermione and Ron. This leads to the climax of the plot, where Voldemort attempts to forcibly take the Philosopher's Stone away from Harry so that he also can achieve everlasting life. The legendary elixir of life is as old as the Hindu Rig Vedas, which were written somewhere between 1700 and 1100 BC. And that is between the time of Joseph and David in the Bible. In the Rig Vedas, anybody who consumed even the tiniest portion of the elixir of life would gain immortality. The Hindus believed that their gods were some sort of primal beings who had drunk of this elixir and thereafter kept it hidden from both the demons and humans. In the Qin Dynasty of China, in the 3rd century BC, Emperor Qin Shi Huang sent Taoist alchemist Xu Fu with 500 young men and 500 young women to the eastern seas to find the elixir of life, but they never came back. The elixir of life is also discussed in the Egyptian Hermetic writings of 2nd century AD, from which it became part of Gnostic doctrine, medieval alchemy, Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, and modern esoteric teaching. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus talks about a food that has properties of the elixir of life and how to find it. The elixir of life that Jesus offered to the people of his day was what he called the bread of life. In verse 35, Jesus told them, "I am the bread of life." In verse 51, he said, "If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever." In verse 38, Jesus also told them, "I have come down from heaven." Now we can see the response of the people to these ideas in verses 41 to 42. I read this again. The Jews grumbled about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Now notice what they objected to. They objected to Jesus' claim to being from heaven. They did not initially object to his offer of an elixir of life in the form of bread. In verse 34, just before our text, they had begged Jesus, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread." They badly wanted a bread that could give them eternal life with just one bite. Who would not want such bread? They were seeking the Philosopher's Stone. Now, what was this bread of life that Jesus was offering the people? In verse 40, he said, and answers that question, "Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then he says again, verses 47 to 51, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. This is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anybody eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now it is clear from these passages that Jesus was not talking about literal bread made from grain that a person eats with his or her own mouth. This is because, according to verse 40, eternal life is received by looking on and believing in Jesus. That's how it happens. To believe in Jesus means to believe what he says, to believe his words and promises, and in particular to believe the gospel of salvation. So, in a figurative way, Jesus was saying that the gospel is the elixir of life, and that you can eat or drink of this elixir only by having faith in Jesus' words. Now, what Jesus did here was to start with the belief that the people already had, namely, that there was out there somewhere an elixir of life. He grabbed their attention by saying, I have some of this elixir stuff in the form of bread. Once that got their attention, he said, and they said, always give us this bread so we can live forever. Then he pointed to himself. He pointed to himself and said, I am that bread. You can eat this bread and live forever by believing in me and my words. Now, how can the gospel, which is mere words, give you eternal life? Just a bunch of words. This was a problem that puzzled the medieval theologians before Martin Luther. Some of them followed the lead of Thomas Aquinas, who said that the words of institution in the Mass magically transform bread and wine into an elixir of life. This is the doctrine of transubstantiation. It's still the official doctrine of Roman Catholicism today. Other later medieval theologians, before Luther, who are known as nominalists, taught that the Lord's Supper gives eternal life because God promised by his words in the gospel to give such life to whoever takes it and believes it. And that view, which preceded Luther, was his view. It was the view adopted by Luther, the Lutherans, and the early Anglicans in their 39 articles. How does the gospel, which is merely words, save you eternally? The gospel is a type of food for the soul, that is, the parts of you that are not physical. The soul includes the heart, the mind, the will, the emotions, your memories, and everything else about you that is not simply your body. Humans have souls. Animals do not. As even Plato admitted, the soul was originally an eternal thing because it came from God. But, this is the Christian and Jewish teaching, because the soul is corrupted by sin, its eternal destiny is death. Therefore, an elixir of life that only preserved the body would really be of no benefit to humans. We need an elixir of life, or bread of life, that preserves the soul. And this is what Jesus came to earth to offer to you and all mankind. He does not offer you preservation from the temporal death of your body. You know someday your body's going to die. In the gospel, he offers to you and all believers preservation from the death of your soul. Each believing soul rises to heaven at death. And on the last day, Jesus will raise up the restored bodies of all believers and reunite those bodies with their souls. And so they will live eternally, both body and soul together. And this is the gospel that all true Christians preach and proclaim. When you hear the promises of salvation in the gospel, the words create faith in your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. As you continue in the faith thus created, you want more of this, more spiritual food. And Jesus offers that to you richly in his word, in baptism, in absolution, and the Lord's Supper. Because word, baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper are spiritual food, that is, food for your soul, we Lutherans call them the means of grace. It is only through such means of grace that faith is created and sustained. Some Christians place more emphasis on faith and less or no emphasis at all on the means of grace. They think somehow that faith is a power inherent in all people that moves them toward God, as if they are always seeking for God. And this is the basis of the decision theology found among Baptists, revivalists, and most evangelicals. But they ignore verses 37 and 44 of our text. Jesus said there, "All that the Father gives me will come to me." And verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Verse 44. Therefore, the beginning of faith is always the work of God, through the Holy Spirit and through the means of grace. It is not the work of man. The perseverance of faith is also the work of God, as Jesus says in verse 37, "Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." The third article in Luther's Small Catechism sums this up by saying, I quote, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in the one true faith." The elixir of life was legendary. It never really existed. The gospel of life is true and real. May you always believe in that gospel and eat of it in a spiritual way, so that you may join all the saints in heaven who believe what Jesus said. In our Savior's name, amen.